God is good, isn't he? Everyone remember when you were a kid and you first learned how to ride a bike? You get on the bike and you're riding in your yard because you don't want to ride on the road because if you fall, you're going to get graveled and scraped up. So you're riding your bike in your yard. You fall over, you wreck, you might run into a tree. But you don't give up after the first time because you're looking for the freedom of movement. So you keep trying, and you keep trying, and before you know it, suddenly you're cruising downhill, wind in your face, living and loving life, right? Well, the pastor asked me to talk to you about a subject that probably is near and dear to everyone's heart, budgeting, right? No. No one likes budgeting. It's right up there with root canals, right? But here's the thing, and I've experienced this. First 53 years of my life, I never budgeted. Always made money, spent it like, you know, nobody's business, paid no attention to what I was doing. And I looked up at my 53rd year and realized I have no idea why I'm making this much money and I still don't have, you know, enough to cover all of my bills. So I sat down and started budgeting. And you would think, well, that's really hard. And it is hard. For the first month, it was a mess. I overestimated some things, I underestimated other things, left things out. But the biggest thing was getting my wife on board, because most people, to include her, me, probably most of you, think a budget is like a straitjacket. A budget tells you you can't spend money. You have to twist that around and look at it in the opposite way. A budget gives you permission to spend money. You're just using it wisely, because there's only three things money can be used for: to spend, to save, and to give. And this is the point of why the pastor wanted me to talk to you for a moment today, is whenever you are intentionally paying attention to your finances, you're budgeting, you're looking at where you're going, that gives you freedom and gives you the opportunity to be outrageously generous with people that need your help. It also, the other what's in it for me thing with budgeting is this. Finances, personal finances, is a taboo topic in many households. It was in mine, because we didn't want to talk about it, because we would look at the bills every month and we could cover them, but it would always be like, well, why'd you buy that? Where did we do, what's going on here? And we finally realized, my wife and I, Carrie, that if we sat down and dreamed for a moment about where do we want to go in our life and what do we want to do and how we want to impact people, and we together work this together as a team, we could make this happen. It opened up communications. We talk openly and honestly about money and finances in our life, in our future, in our family, in our friends, in our legacy we're leaving behind, without any stress or worry or acrimony, because we're doing it as a team. And that's the what's in it for me thing that I want you to take away. It's not a straitjacket, it's permission to spend. And if someone is willing to put in the hard work and talk and work as a team, one horse can only pull so much, two horses can pull seven times more. If you're working as a team, pulling together, who knows what you can do? Okay, thank you.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some issues like that today. We're going to talk about the discipline of consistency, and I'm so excited that you guys are working on that. Is my mic on? Over here, am I good? I don't know, is this mic or this? Ever, is that a positive? Okay, great, all right. Well, the reality is, studies say most Americans live paycheck to paycheck, right? Think, how are we going to pay these bills? Are we going to have extra? How are we going to deal with retirement? All of those issues. And really, the answer is pretty simple. You just need to spend less than what you bring in, right? It's, if you're not making it, you either need to spend less or make more. That's pretty easy, isn't it? but most people struggle in this area still. So what is the issue? Well, we try to come up with quick fixes. We want the security and the peace that finances can bring. But there's something that gets in us, that immediate gratification, that we want to go out to eat right now. We want this gift right now. We want this item right now. And so we all have this long-term plan of we're going to have it in retirement. We're going to have money if we get a flat tire, the car breaks down. That's our goal, right? That's what we desire. But the immediate gets in the way. And so we spend the money in a different area that maybe it's not budgeted. And so this battle of character and discipline and of the will can be difficult. If I were to ask you, do you want to keep all of your teeth? You know, there used to be a sign that my dentist had. He said, you don't have to floss all your teeth, only the ones that you want to keep. And so we think, all right, we all want to have good teeth. We don't want any cavities, right? But am I in the habit of brushing a couple times a day? Do I floss at least every day or a couple times a day? And so we have this goal. We want to have nice teeth, but do we have the consistency of the follow-through? You know, over the past couple years, I've tried to lose some weight, and I'd always wanted to lose weight, and we even did a class on weight loss and health and dealt with it, and I kind of lost a few pounds. Wasn't long afterward that kind of came back, and I don't know about you, but you know what, we're in March now, so January, maybe you made some decisions that I'm going to spend right, and I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to exercise, but now we're in March. You know, if you got a gym membership in January, the gym is pretty full by, you know, February and March. People aren't necessarily there. What happened? That discipline of consistency, just sticking with it. We kind of move back to the old patterns of our eating or whatever. The immediate gratification can sabotage us. Maybe it's going by the fast food restaurant when you're hungry, or eating a snack that's really not healthy, or that favorite dessert comes around and you just got to have it. And you, man, one piece, I just blew it anyway. I might as well go ahead and just keep eating. You ever watch on TV the quick fixes on the health thing? You know, using a 7-minute ab machine. All you have to do is 7 minutes, and if you do that, you're going to look like that. Well, I don't know. My guess is that's probably not going to take place. Or if you just take this pill or drink this drink, you know, this new scientific thing, you're going to melt the weight away. Or I saw the other day, you just freeze the fat off. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good as well. No exercise. No, you just, you know, freeze it off somehow. If you just get this product, that you should be okay. Or like most Americans do, just eat whatever you want and go to the doctor and take a pill and everything will just be all right. As well. And as Americans, we deal with a lot of health issues. I saw the other day that young people, only 3 out of 10 young people are physically fit enough to go into the military because of the obesity problem in our country. So today we're talking about the discipline of consistency. And my wife always types my messages, and I said, every one of us have some kind of struggle. And so she reminded me, yeah, Tim's struggle is sarcasm. And I felt like I gave it up a couple years ago, but I guess I still struggle there. The reality, many people deal with addiction. And somebody doesn't commit to be clean forever. They don't commit to be clean for a year or a month or even a week, but they just commit to today or this hour, or right now, right? We've just got to do the right thing right now. Students, if you're thinking getting close to the end of the school year and what kind of grades you're going to have, the reality is you have a goal of getting a good grade. You want to pass the classes. You want to excel. You want to graduate. You want to move ahead. You want to learn the material from those classes, but some things get in the way. Social media, having a social life, maybe your work schedule. Your friends call you, hey, let's go bowling. And that immediate gratification, maybe it's just turning the TV on or surfing the internet or whatever the case might be. We have that goal to move ahead, but it takes regular study and preparation. I think if we were to say, what kind of relationships do you want to have? You'd say, I want to have good relationships. I want to have good working relationships, especially those closest to me. As I think of my family, my marriage, I want to have a good marriage. But there are some things that get in the way from good communication, serving, and working together. And it really is that discipline of consistency that's necessary. You don't wake up every morning with a desire to serve your spouse and to love your family. But you're called to do it just day in and day out. The other day I was reading a book called Marriage Matters. And in the intro of this book is what it says. Take simple steps to love one another more effectively. And take those steps over and over again. Hey, if you want to have a good marriage, just start taking the right step. And do that today, and do it this afternoon, and do it this evening, and do it tomorrow morning, and do it throughout the day. And the next day, when you don't really feel like it, keep loving and keep loving and keep loving. And when you don't feel that committed, or the quick fix is just to walk out of that marriage, just to walk away from your spouse. But God said, I just want you to keep loving and keep loving and keep loving. Just have that discipline of consistency. When I was in college, I heard a guy say, that the pastorate is very busy. Just protect your day off and make sure that you take that time for your family. And I thought that made really good sense. And so I would work really hard, especially starting the church, and just very active, and I tend to be pretty self-motivated anyway. I was working real hard, but I always thought I have that day off for my kids. And one day it hit me that I shouldn't be a parent just one day a week. I needed to be a parent every day of the week. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just, you know, when you go on vacation or those special days, but it's being the right kind of parent day in and day out. Even when you're tired, even when you don't feel like it. And those times when you're asking yourself, what about me? Who's going to think about me? You just keep plugging along, loving your kids, serving them. It's just called faithfulness. Spiritually. I mean, the Christian life is not really that difficult. The book we're going through, Walls Fall Down by Dudley Rutherford, I mean, there's probably very little in that book that you're reading. You're like, wow, I've never heard that before. I never thought about that. It's praying, reading your Bible, going to church, being a part of a small group. You know, those are all simple things. All the things that we know we should be doing. But when somebody comes in my office and they say, I'm dealing with a struggle, I tend to ask the question, how is your Bible reading? How is your devotional life? How are you praying? And most of the time, well, I spend a little bit of time in prayer as I'm driving to work, or, you know, I listen to Christian radio or listen to music on the way in, but I really don't take time to open my Bible throughout the week. I don't really stop that much outside of the business of just praying to get through the 95 traffic, just really pausing and talking to God. And the spiritual disciplines are going to determine where we're going to end up spiritually, but the immediate gratification of just doing what we want. You know, you're tired at the end of the day, so you turn the TV on. You don't really feel like getting up a little bit earlier, or you got a lot going on in the middle of the day. But just reading our Bible and praying, being faithful to church, you know, we really shouldn't ask the question, are we going to go to church today? It should just be a part of our routine. Getting involved in a small group, Wednesday night, our small groups, as we're discussing the Walls Fall Down material, is a great way to build relationships and to have people around you that you can connect with. Our giving and our tithing at church, our serving in the church, just a consistency, just staying with it, just keep doing it. Day in and day out. We're looking at 7 strategies in the Walls Fall Down series. The first is simply this: focus on God's power. The first key is just to worship God. God, you're the priority. When we focus on God instead of our problems, those walls are going to shrink. Focus on God's power. Secondly, second key is to trust God's plan. An unconventional plan. When it doesn't make sense, you keep doing it. That's called faith. We worship, we have faith in God, and then we realize God wants us to be holy. The third part was to consecrate God as our priority. God, you are first. If my walls are going to fall down, if I am going to accomplish what God would have for me, he's got to be the priority. I've got to put him first. And then last week we talked about fellowshipping with God's people, unity. Spending time together as they went around the city, they did it as a team. Just like Frank talked about, marriage has got to be a team where you're making those decisions. We've got to be a part of that team as well. Well, today we're looking at the fifth key, the fifth strategy in the walls fall down. If God is going to do a great work in our life or in our church's life, we've got to have the discipline of consistency. We've got to keep moving along, persevering, not quitting. There's no quick fixes to life. You know, you're probably not going to get rich by playing the lottery. My guess is you're not going to be healthy by taking a pill. It just is doing the right thing day in and day out. There's no magic pill to life. You know, our church is called Choice Baptist, and we got it from Joshua 24:15, which simply says this. You know, this is an awesome verse. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. So you got to make a choice, and the reality is you have to do it today. Tomorrow you'll have to make that choice, and it'll be today. And the following day you'll do it today. I just have to do the right thing today. I've got to be consistent today. I've got to stay with it today. My yesterday may not have been that great. I just got to get back on track today. I've got to accomplish what God would have me to do today. Choose you this day. It's just getting up, doing the right thing, making the right choice, even when we don't feel like it, because this problem of immediate gratification just sabotages us. Whether it be our eating, the spending of our money, what we do with our daily time, we just have to say, God, you're the priority. What is it that you want me to do today? You see, that's what was going on in Jericho. The children of Israel had just crossed over the Jordan River. They have entered the promised land. And in the first battle is this incredibly high wall. This challenge that seems so difficult, it was impossible to them. The children of Israel 40 years earlier had balked. They said, I don't think we can do this. Now their descendants are at the same place. What are they going to do? And we see Joshua coming on the scene. And in chapter 5 it says, when he was near the gates of Jericho, the Lord appeared to him. And he gives them this plan in chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. You see, the people of Jericho, they were scared, so they closed the walls. They knew the children of Israel weren't very far off and that they were going to be the first to be attacked. And so they closed the gates. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. See, they're at the walls of Jericho. God had promised them that they were going to take this entire land, this whole land of Canaan. It's the land that the Palestinians and the Jews are still fighting over today. And the children of Israel go in and they face their first challenge. Let me just ask you, what are the challenges in your life right now? I mean, what are the struggles that are going on in your life? Those impossible walls that you're asking God to tear down. You know, the Bible says, if you have not, because you ask not. And if we're not asking God to tear those walls down, why would he? You know, he wants us to ask. And so what are those challenges that right now God is speaking to you about, that he wants to do a work in your life. And he says to Joshua in verse 2, the Lord says. I was talking to our other pastors here the other day, and I said, I was kind of wondering, I don't know the answer to this. Does God speak to us at certain times more strongly than he does at other times? Or are we just prepared to listen at certain times? Maybe he's speaking all the time. I don't know. But there are certainly times when we are prepared. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. I want you to pause. I want you to stop. How is God speaking to you and to your family, to our church, to our community? How is God speaking? The Lord said. See, we just have to listen for his voice. And then he says this to Joshua, see, I have given you, see. Not only did he need to listen, but he needed to understand the vision. I want you to see it. I want you to catch it. I really want you to know what the strategy is here. And then he gave him this promise, I have given you this land. The Lord said unto Joshua, we hear his voice, see, we understand his vision. And then we trust in his promises, I have given into thine hand. Joshua's at the wall trying to figure out how he's going to do this, and God says, I'm already going to do it. See, that's my promise. It's not necessarily what you do, but it's what I am about to do. Look what I am going to do, Joshua. I want you to see it. You see, we all have struggles in life. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's relational, maybe it's a spiritual matter in your life. And God wants to be at work, but we just have to trust his plan. We've got to trust at what God is doing. How is God speaking to us? And then he tells him in verse 3, it's an unconventional plan. Pastor Jeff talked about this the other day. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. That's kind of a crazy plan, isn't it? Are we going to build some kind of catapult and knock the walls down? Are we going to go up to the doors and we're going to have a battering ram and we're going to push those doors in? How are we going to do this, God? We're going to walk around the city. The first day, we're going to do it one time. And then we're going to do that for 6 days, Joshua. That's the plan. We're going to walk around the city, yeah. And then what? We're going to go back to camp. You mean we're going to walk around the city and go back to camp, and that's all we're going to do? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Well, that sounds kind of boring, doesn't it? And what are we going to do the next day? You're going to get up at sunrise, okay, and what are we going to do? You're going to walk around the city. All right, and then what are we going to do? You're going to go back to camp. Yeah, and then what? I guess take a nap. I don't know. But third day, go around the city. Go back to camp. Fourth day, go around the city. Go back to camp. Fifth day, go around the city. Go back to camp. Sixth day, go around the city. Go back to camp. You see, we've got to hear the plan, and then we've got to follow the plan. Could you imagine? For 40 years, they have been walking. I mean, that's all they did, right? When the Shekinah glory, that cloud in the daytime that gave them some shade, would move, they would just walk. And at night, when that cloud was a pillar of fire and it provided the warmth and light, they would just follow it and they would walk. For 40 years, they would walk. These young people have been walking for year after year after year, and now they get into the promised land. And you know what God said to do? I want you to keep walking. I posted on our Choice Facebook as I was preparing this, I thought of VeggieTales. Anybody watch VeggieTales? Yeah, they're great. I was thinking about VeggieTales and where they're fighting the Battle of Jericho and the little peas just say, keep walking, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll, and they just keep walking around the city, and they just went left, right, left, right, left, right for 40 years, and then another week, and they just stuck with it. They didn't quit. Maybe they got discouraged at times, but they kept walking. Maybe they wanted to argue with God. Remember, God said, I don't want you to do any talking, because he didn't want them complaining. I just want you to keep walking and do this for 6 days. Just follow the plan. I don't know about you, most things in life are just like that. I mean, you remember when you were in school and you said, I cannot wait to get out of school. School is so boring. And I'm going to get out of school and I'm going to get to go to work and I'm going to get paid. And the reality is, you get up in the morning. It's not that exciting, is it? You drive to work. You put your 8 hours in. And you drive home. And you do that Monday, and you do that Tuesday, and you do that Wednesday, and you do that Thursday, and you do that Friday, and maybe you work some overtime on Saturday, and you get up again on Monday, and you do it Tuesday, and you do it Wednesday, and you do it Thursday, and you do it Friday, and you do it for 40 or 50 years, just like your parents did and your grandparents did. It doesn't seem that exciting. If you stay at home, you get up in the morning, you clean the house, you take care of the kids, you go shopping for some food, you get the food ready, the family comes home, they eat it, they don't say thank you, they put all the dishes, you just cleaned all the dishes, you know, around my family, so I just cleaned the sink out an hour ago and it's full again. And what do you got to do? You got to do more dishes. You got to do it by hand, or you put it in the dishwasher, you take care of that. You got clothes, it seems like you're doing clothes all the time, right? And you throw it in the machine, you dry it, you fold it, it gets put away, and then there's still more clothes. There's always more to do. And what do? You just keep washing and washing and washing and washing. You just keep taking care of those things. You get on a budget, and you just keep doing it and doing it, doing it. You're trying to eat healthy. And then family invites you out and eat pizza. We overeat. The pizza's good, by the way. I think it's really good. If you're going to mess up on pizza is my idea anyway. But you get back to it tomorrow, right? You don't throw in the towel and just say, I messed up. No, you just keep walking, you keep walking, you keep walking, you keep walking. You know, it's amazing. You exercise consistently and you miss a couple days. And you get back to it, you know what? You feel like you've never worked out a day in your life, right? And you're just panting and panting. How am I going to get through this? You got to get up. You got to start walking. You got to keep moving. You got to keep going and going and going and going. You know, it's so easy to get out of church. You're faithful in church. But the kids get sick, and you know, if the kids are sick, both mom and dad have to stay home and wipe the baby's nose. I don't know why. It's in the Bible somewhere, I think, but that's what I've been taught at least. Everybody's got to stay home, you know, if somebody's sick. You can go to work the next day, but you can't go to church if somebody's sick, you know. Anyway, I'll get off of that here, but so you miss church for a couple weeks. The next thing you know, you get up, we're going to go, we've looked for a church for a while. We get out of church, and the next thing you know, 3 years have gone by, and you think, man, what's happened? And you just got to get back on track, right? Just got to do the right thing. Whether it be time management, financial management, just daily life, you just have to get back on track and keep walking and keep walking. And I tell you, most of life does not make a very good Facebook post, does it? You know, it's only those best moments in life that get there. And the average life, just going to work, coming home, loving your family, caring for people. You know, life is really not about just being at the beach for a couple days or being able to go out on the boat during the summer or being able to have this a special day. Most of life is just life. And it's just getting by, doing the right thing day in and day out. You choose to do it And then you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. And you've been married for several years, and you look at that person, you say, they've changed and I've changed. We're kind of different people, but you made a commitment to God till death do us part, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. And you raise your kids up, and you have these great expectations, and things don't always go the way that you thought they were going to go. And maybe they rebel as a teenager. Maybe they've got some issues in life. Maybe you don't like the person that they married. They raised their kids different than you did. They're dealing with financial struggles. They have whatever the case would be, and you just keep loving them and loving them and loving them. That's just how life is. In our small group on Wednesdays, I asked somebody, how do we live the Christian life? And they said, you just do it. Nike had it right, I guess. You just do it. You may not get appreciated. You may not feel like the walls are falling down. Could you imagine them going around every day? It would have been pretty cool if they'd have walked around the walls and they would have maybe heard an earthquake and a few of the bricks started falling. Really, even if you look in our book, on day one, it had one brick falling. Day two, there's two bricks. Well, even Dudley says in his book, probably nothing happened for 6 days. Could you imagine how frustrating that would be? Have you ever tried to eat right a couple days and you're on the scale and you're still gaining weight? Or you start budgeting and then the car breaks down and you start giving consistently? And it just seems a little more difficult than really what you thought. See, here's what Galatians 6:9 says. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Could you imagine the farmer? He goes out and he plants all the seeds. Everything is planted. He had tilled the ground. He had fertilized. Everything is taken care of. And he puts seeds in the ground, he goes to bed, and he gets up the next morning, and there's no plants, and there's no fruit on the plants, and he thinks this was worthless, and he just goes and destroys the field. That's not how farming works, is it? See, you don't reap in our timing, we reap in God's timing, and you just got to stay consistent. So don't faint. And you know what happens before you faint? You start to get weary. Like, you know what, this is kind of tough. It's tough doing the right thing day in and day out, but you keep walking. Left, right, left, right, left, right, for 6 days. Day in and day out. They got up, obeyed, and finished their day. But God said, you will reap. Aaron Judkins, who's one of the young people in our church, he was interning and now he's in Bible college down in Jacksonville, Florida, was praying the other day and he made this post and I really like. He defined what discipline is. And he said, discipline is doing what you don't necessarily want to do in order to become who you always wanted to be. That's pretty good, isn't it? He probably stole it from me, but he posted it, so we'll give him the credit. But doing what you don't necessarily want to do, that's a whole lot of life, isn't it? In order to become what you always wanted to be. We hear the plan instead of being inattentive. We follow the plan instead of being undisciplined. We stick to the plan in this age of distraction. And we persevere. And we don't quit. Look back with me at the passage for just a second. Look at verse 2. Joshua 6:2. And the Lord said unto Joshua. The Lord said unto Joshua. So Joshua was trying to figure this out. Now he's talking to God again. And he gives him the plan. Now look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them. So Joshua got the message. And now he's given the message to the priest. Now look with me at verse 8. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people. So you see him speaking unto the people again. So God gives the message to Joshua. Joshua gives the message to the leaders. Joshua gives the message next to the people. And now look with me at verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, notice here, until the day that I tell you. So God had given the full message to Joshua, he knew. But God didn't want the people to know the whole story. It seems they just had enough information for that day. And he said, you just do the right thing today, and then I'm going to have you shout on the day that I tell you. I'm not going to tell you what day that is. Maybe they didn't know that they were going to have to do this for 7 days. They just had to keep walking and walking and walking and going around the city here and fulfilling that. They just had to be consistent. And then he says this in verse 11, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So they went around it once. And they just kept doing that day after day after day. And he just told them, don't quit. As I was thinking about this thought a couple weeks ago, I wrote in my book, No Moss. I don't know if you remember 1980, Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. Sugar Ray Leonard, remember, was an incredible boxer in the Olympics. This young man just kind of coming out of a somewhat impoverished lifestyle, and he was fighting in the Olympics, and this guy was amazing, and he becomes a professional boxer, welterweight. He becomes the welterweight champion. And Roberto Duran from Panama is going to fight for this title. And Roberto Duran starts mouthing off towards Sugar Ray Leonard, and Sugar Ray Leonard is really upset. And so instead of boxing, he just stands fist to fist and foot to foot with Roberto Duran, and they punch each other for whatever, 12 rounds at that point. And Roberto Duran takes the title away from Sugar Ray Leonard. Later in that same year, there's a rematch. And Sugar Ray Leonard said, I am not going to fight him. I'm a boxer, and I'm going to box him. I showed this closing scene to my son John yesterday, and I didn't know if it was online, so I looked it up, and man, just seeing the end of this fight. But Sugar Ray, man, he was moving around. It was just amazing how he was boxing there. And Roberto Duran was frustrated. So I think it's the eighth round after Sugar Ray has been taunting him and messing with him, just outboxing him for those first 7 rounds. In the eighth round, Roberto Duran looks at the referee and he says, no mas. And the ref kind of looks at him, doesn't know what's going on. Sugar Ray doesn't understand. The ref gets in between him like, you're done? Did you say no mas? And he said, no mas. And he turns around. Sugar Ray goes to punch him, and he realizes that the ref's getting in the way. He doesn't know what's going on, and he's looking like, what's going on? And Sugar Ray gets his title back. You know why? Because somebody decided to quit. And I wonder how many times in our life, if we could just stay consistent with our finances, if we could stay consistent with our health, if we could stay consistent on our job, in our marriages, in our family, in our relationships, in our Bible reading, in our church attendance, in our everyday life. You know, you can't make a decision you're going to do the right things 20 years from now or even next year, but you can say, today I'm going to make the right choice. I'm going to do the right thing. I am going to choose to obey God. You just follow the plan. Well, you hear the plan, you follow the plan, and you stick to the plan. That's how life is. And if you want your walls to fall down, if you want God to fulfill His promise, you just have to have the discipline of consistency. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. This morning, I haven't talked primarily about what Jesus did for us. When He died on the cross, that our sins could be forgiven. We sang about it this morning. What an incredible opportunity that we have to know that our sins are forgiven and we're on our way to heaven, not because of what we can do, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus died on the cross that our sins could be forgiven. You see, we've all sinned against God. We've all failed Him. And our sin separates us from a holy God. But Jesus died for our sins. And if by faith you would call upon Him, repent, admit to God that He's the Savior, and you would call upon His name, by faith, ask Him into your life. Tell Him that you trust in Him and ask Him to take you to heaven one day. Place your faith in Him. Trust Him. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that You died for me. I trust in Your death, burial, and resurrection. Please come into my life and forgive my sins. And Lord, take me to heaven when I die. You see, salvation is a free gift. And if you have already made that decision to accept Jesus, now here's our life to choose You this day. Let's decide we're just going to follow Him. It's an old song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Maybe you're discouraged in your Christian life. Let Him know you're going to follow Him. Some struggles in your marriage and your family, and some other relationship, just you decide you can't fix everything, but you can do the right thing. Faithfulness and reading your Bible, spending time in prayer and church, in your giving and your serving, in encouraging others and being a part of a small group. Hey, let's let the walls fall down today by having that discipline of consistency. Dear Father, please do a work in our life today. Help us to be consistent. Just as Your Son walked to that cross, left, right, left, right, left, right. May we learn from that dedication. We offer ourselves to You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.